Welcome to the podcast that puts a finger on the pulse of medicine and technology. On this show, you'll hear from investors, industry executives, and healthcare providers on the science and business of medicine. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib, and this is the State of MedTech. Getting CMEs is tough as a clinician, so it helps when you're able to get a CME through things like a podcast. And this is one of those rare opportunities. This learning experience is powered by CMEify, a platform that brings relevant CMEs to busy clinicians at the right place at the right time. So after reading or listening to this piece of content, clinicians can click the link in the notes below to reflect and unlock an AMA PRA Category 1 credit. Hey, podcast listeners, this is an episode I've really been waiting to bring you. I've been doing podcasts for almost 5 years now, I think 6 years across multiple shows. And I can't remember the last time that I've ever been this excited about an episode. So a little background. So many, about two and a half years ago, there was a medical sales rep somewhere here in the country. And their company was going through a really tough time. Of course, the salespeople were, going through a really, really difficult situation. And so the sales rep decided to make a meme page just to have a little bit of fun. And they created the mad device rep, because their thing was, well, we're medical device reps, we're med device reps, right now we're mad, so it's mad device. And they did that not knowing the kind of movement they would start. It started out kind of as a way to just have fun and poke fun at ridiculous situations in med tech, but it quickly evolved, and in the last couple of years has amassed thousands of medical device sales followers, very, very devout, loyal followers. And I was really impressed by their mission, in that they're really acting as a force of good in the industry to bring sales reps together, provide information. So during the pandemic, they ran polls to get information of what's going on in the field, and aside from entertain their followers, bring them together. Now, I want to give you a heads up. If you're going to listen to this interview with your kids in the car, I highly recommend you don't do that, because some explicit language is used from time to time, not too much, but just FYI, I don't want you to get surprised. Number two, if you're a physician, for some reason, and you're listening to this, you can actually get a CME credit for reflecting on this. So just check the link in the notes. And lastly, because this was a live stream, there was a couple times that audio cut out. We did our best to clip that together. And I was considering not including this in the audio, but it was so good that even the audio was worth putting in. But we did a very special intro for the Mad Device Rep. And what you're going to hear is a clip from a movie where a tsunami comes and destroys a city, followed by some opera music, and then this really awesome intro music for the Mad Device Rep. And why a tsunami? Why a natural disaster? Well, mainly because I feel that the Mad Device Rep is a true force of nature. So if you're interested in actually seeing the video for this, just head on over to YouTube. You can see the video there, the full interviews there, but you can actually watch the video. Now, without further ado, it's my honor and pleasure to introduce to you, for the very first time, the Mad Device Rep. Enjoy. everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the most highly anticipated event of the year, of the decade, possibly the century. That is right. The people asked for it. The people demanded it. And you know what? Of all the shows that are out there, the State of MedTech got you who you wanted. The Mad Device Rep. I'm going to be bringing on the Mad Device Rep on soon. I tried right now because I'm streaming on multiple platforms to do it also on my personal LinkedIn. That did not work. Sorry about that, everybody. We're going to try that in a moment. But let me bring on the man, the myth, the legend, or the woman. We don't know. We don't know who the Mad Device Rep, but let me bring them on. And here we go. Is everybody ready? Can I get some comments in the chat, please? Give me some hearts. LinkedIn, I want to see some hearts, please. Hearts. I want to see some, you know, emojis going crazy. And tell me where you're coming in from. I want to hear cities. Here we go. The Mad Device Rep, everybody. Chad, are you there?
What's up, Red Hat Gang?
What is going on?
Omar, I'm still trying to catch my breath from the absurdity of that intro.
Was that not amazing?
That was amazing.
The production value of that, amazing, just fantastic.
Right? I don't know what the symbolism behind that is as far as my account in the industry, but I loved it.
Well, you know, while we talk, why don't you give a little bit of an intro and backstory to you? And while you do that, I'm going to try and make a second attempt to broadcast this on my personal LinkedIn. Okay. So sure. Hey, somebody's calling it. Somebody's tuning in from Canada, way up north. Welcome, Amy. Thank you.
I've got a pretty legit following out of Canada. I love the Canadian Red Hat Gang.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you want me to kick this off? Happy to talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead and kick it off. So let's start off with a simple question, which is, how did this all start? While you talk, I'm gonna try and do this also on my personal LinkedIn. So why don't you kick things off while I take care of this real quick?
Well, honestly, the whole thing started as a way to just make my friends laugh. We were all going through some tough times in respective roles. You know, the struggle's real, whether it's in a territory or you're a product manager. And so we said, hey, look, morale's down. Why don't we just start making memes about it? Just roasting, you know, whatever the company's doing, what our customers are doing. And it was just a group of like three or four people that were following it and didn't really expect it to turn into much. It was just more of a creative outlet, just a way to vent and turn some of the just absurdity of our day to day, you know, into memes. And then I hit 100 followers and I realized, like, hey, I guess people actually kind of like this. I'll keep this going. So I had this idea. I was going to create, like, the Mad Device Rep was going to be this just toxic douche personality, you know, like a Chad, if you will, the stereotype. But really, I kept getting just incredible engagement from my follower base. For people to reach out, they want to talk about what's going on in their territory, what's going on in the industry. So realize that, you know, I can keep the negativity up. I mean, that's what this entire account is based on. It's just some of the dumb stuff that we deal with every day. But maybe I'll just drop the whole douche rep persona and just try to grow the reach and engagement and build a community around it, which is really what's happened right now. And that's one of the greatest things about this account is what goes on in my inbox. Some of the discussions that I have with reps across the country from all sorts of different categories, different market segments. It's pretty incredible what I've learned just from making memes.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I see more people joining on live. So for those who are wondering, yes, this is going to be recorded. This will be on YouTube and our podcast. But I'm not going to lie, you guys missed the most epic of trailers and entrances of this century, maybe. I'm hyping it up too much. Maybe because it's because of the fact that I put that really crappy reel together. So it's like my crap, but I love it.
It was like WWE meets James Cameron. It was amazing.
Yeah, there we go. This is, you know, you're the lost voice of our generation, Chad. And Chad, I'm going to ask you another question, but I'm going to disappear for 1 second. I think I figured out a way to broadcast this to my LinkedIn
personal LinkedIn, because I went the first time and it didn't work, and I'm already getting blown up on my phone saying, oh, where'd that feed go? So I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to step away just for a moment, because I'm going to take my laptop here and screen share, but I'm going to put it in a closet while it's rolling. So so maybe before we dive into some of the memes and everything, like, I know you mentioned that, you know, it started off kind of as a joke and a way just to kind of share like a lot of toxicity in the industry, but it turned into this thing that has like a bigger mission. And I'm wondering if you and I, we spoke about this last night. Can you dive a little bit into that while I step away for a second?
Absolutely. And you know, like I said in the beginning, I mean, the mission was just to make people laugh and to come up with this just incredibly toxic persona. But the mission turned into something a little bit more wholesome than really what I'd anticipated, which is to like connect the reps in our industry together and to truly build a community. You've seen the hashtag. I mean, it's right there above my logo head, the Red Hat Gang. And it's taken off in a way that I never quite anticipated, where, you know, people will ask like, hey, what's going on with the Red Hat Gang? Like, what's the latest on like COVID case shutdowns, things like that. If you guys remember last year, I think where the account really started to take shape was during COVID. A lot of us were out of our accounts. We weren't able to go in and call on them like we used to. So we had a little bit more downtime than I think any of us ever anticipated. So it gave me some time to help us keep a pulse on how COVID was affecting our business. And if you were following me last year, you probably remember seeing the COVID elective shutdown tracker, which was a map of the US with this really crappy hand-drawn heat map on it. And that's where things, I think, really started going to the next level of actually having some utility of this meme account, is being able to keep everybody in the loop of what's going on based on the feedback from reps across the country. So it inadvertently turned into a feedback platform where we could actually broadcast news of what's going on based on crowdsourced input. And so I think going forward, we've got a real opportunity here to build on that. And partnering with Omar, guys, if you haven't been following Omar's content, he did not pay me to say this. Some of the analysis that he does with the industry. So, I mean, you guys have seen, I haven't really collabed or done any kind of partnerships until now. But now, you know, together with Omar, the whole idea is, you know, let's take this industry news concept, this pulse on the industry to the next level, you know, through humor, but actually thoughtful analysis of what is actually happening with the Red Hat Gang in our business. So it's been a lot of fun. Something we've been working on for the last couple of weeks, and there's a lot more to come here. And I think that there's a better opportunity for us to keep our entire group of reps here in the Red Hat Gang a lot better informed just through what started as a meme account. So I got to say, while Omar's working on whatever he's working on over there, I got to say how grateful I am for my follower base. This entire account would not exist without the engagement and the day-to-day interactions I have with you guys. So I just want to say thank you for that. It's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to keep this going. I'm going to take a drink real quick and hope he comes back soon so I can answer another question.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the back and forth. I'm still having some technical difficulties. I'm trying to make it work on my personal LinkedIn. I think we're almost there. We got a lot of people calling in. So we got people from Chicago, Connecticut, Montreal, a lot of Canadians. Red Hat Gang up in the north, man.
I'm telling you, they're real deep and they're awesome.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. Throw it down. And hey, everybody, again, if you're new to the LinkedIn Live, like, I want to see some emojis. Throw some emojis up. Let us know that you're doing a good job. YouTube, Twitter, we see your comments. It's all coming into one stream. And please, like, drop some of your questions in. Chad, I'm going to ask another question. I'm going to try one more time to make this work on the personal one. Sure. But, and by the way, I was able to hear everything because I'm just in the other room. So, like, you know, before we get into, like, the wildness and the humor, you know, I do want to focus more about the mission and everything. You know, what were... You know, especially during COVID, like, what were some of the responses and like messages you're getting from reps who were shut out of their hospital and, you know, essentially, you know, their business was just pretty much up in flames? Like, what was that like? It seems like you created like a really great community that helped provide support for people like that.
I think a lot of it had to do with trying to navigate through some of the uncertainty that we had to deal with. So many of us were in this huge black hole of information, and none of us knew exactly what was going to go what was going to happen next. We figured it probably wasn't the end of our jobs as we knew it, even though we keep hearing about this new normal. But one of the things I found a lot of value in, and I think our followers did, was just the constant flow of information. Where shutdowns were occurring, even if there were rumors. It was funny. You know, somebody would say, hey, cases are shut down in New Jersey, and somebody else would come back and say, hey, no, that's fake news, which is great, though, right? Because we had the engagement, and we were trying to vet some of this info that was coming in. So I think that two-way dialogue and that flow of information was very helpful to keep everybody at least to have this sense of control and knowing what was going on. When everything else was out of our control. And the second thing, and I still get some of these messages, and it completely makes my day, makes us all worth it when people say things like, hey, love the content, it helps me get through the day, or helps me get through my week. And there's probably a few other coping mechanisms I'd recommend on top of that, but that's very fulfilling that these memes have more of a purpose than just a cheap laugh and trying to drive some engagement on a social media platform. So it was a rough time last year. I mean, what I really mean is 2020. And we've never seen anything like this. A lot of us who've been in the business, you know, I'm going on, well, without giving too much information, we'll call it between 10 and 15 years, but well over a decade. We've never seen anything like this before. We've seen down years. You know, we've seen some environmental impacts change and affect the way that accounts budget, but we've never seen anything like this. So I, just for my own benefit, it helped me feel very connected. Like we were in the trenches together. It didn't matter what company you worked for. It didn't matter what bag you sold. I even have pharma reps that follow me, as much as, you know, sometimes I like to make fun of pharma, but it's an easy target for the whole device pharma, not even really rivalry, but interaction and banter. I have a person in pharma that is a regular in the inbox, and I love the interactions. But just bringing everybody closer together like that was pretty awesome. And it helped me tremendously, be completely honest, getting through, like, what was it, at that March to June, July timeframe?
That was a super rough timeframe.
Absolutely brutal. We didn't know what was going to happen to our quotas. A lot of companies were taking care of their reps in very different manners. And so I got a lot of that feedback too. And people got to vent, got a lot of people, talking about all of the hardships and struggles they were going through in the inbox. And I think it let a lot of us know, especially since as reps, we're often on islands, even though we work in teams, that, hey, you're not alone. There's still a community going through the exact same shit that you're going through.
Yeah. And I think that's like very important to hear, just because a lot of people don't realize that there's others going through the exact same thing. Being a rep is a really, really lonely job. Can you describe maybe a little bit more about that? Like, what is it like being like, you know, I believe you're a rep yourself. What has it been like for you being out in the field, like on your own and on an island? And I'm going to step away one last time because I finally got this to work. So everybody who's on LinkedIn Live, on the personal, thank you for being patient. Chad, go and take it away. I'll be back. And this is the last time I'm going to be disappearing.
Oh, it's a great question. And that's, I would actually love to see some of that feedback in the chat dialogue too, of how you feel as a rep being out on your, you know, quote unquote island. But for me, it's trying to make it as much of a team effort as possible. I know that sometimes as like a metal rep, that can be tough because you really are focused on your lane, your docks, and with more of a mixture of capital and disposables, working across different, different reps that are in the same company, trying to make it as much of a team effort as possible helps tremendously. I'm on the phone for most of the day talking to people on my team, talking to people on other teams that work adjacent to mine, and it helps not feel so isolated. And you learn a ton through that kind of interaction. So for me, it's really helpful just to keep reaching out and just to keep in contact with the folks that you work with. Sometimes it's even people from other companies that obviously don't have a direct competitive interest in my products, but really trying to get off that island as much as possible is tremendously helpful and not feeling so isolated, because everybody knows how tough that can be, you know, when you feel like you are fighting this entire battle alone. But it also goes back to some of the benefits of doing this whole meme gig that I never would have thought of, is it also helps get you off that island. It helps get me off that island through some of the engagements I have with direct messages, doing things like polls, or even comments on some of my posts. And that's, again, why I'm so grateful for the follower, like the highly engaged following base that I have, because it helps with that feeling of being isolated while you're out in the field. Because I mean, we're out in the cast all day. You know, I got home probably 30 minutes before this entire live stream started. So the grind, the struggle is real, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a solo mission.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So I'm not going and dealing with that laptop again. That little like jerry rig that I tried just absolutely screwed things up royally. But you know what? I'm just leaving it roll. So like people who are on my personal LinkedIn, they're going to see us talking, but for some reason I can't get the audio work. It is what it is. We got a lot of people who are just like on the actual event, which is great. And by the way, again, I just have to, do a shout out for this and share, because I am very proud of it. But this is what I just went through right now is such a like med rep thing to do, which is something's not working. And I'm like, no, screw it. I'm going to find a way to jerry rig this thing. So let me read to you some of the comments that are coming in. I think, Chad, you can see the comments, right? So Amy,
I cannot.
You cannot. Okay, that's okay. I'm going to read them to you. So
if you just want to read them out loud, we can tell.
Yeah, Amy Gathiel says, it's great to have other device reps to relate to. Up here, we are on our own island. I cover two giant provinces with four portfolios, so it can get lonely. Yeah, that's really tough. Bader Mustri says, it's been a roller coaster to adapt to the virtual lifestyle as well, internally and externally. What are your thoughts on what companies are doing to kind of adapt to things virtually?
I think that it's challenging from a team bonding standpoint for sure, because I'm hearing a lot about virtual national sales meetings, and that is usually the time where reps from across the country come together. You see your friends from your training class. You see reps from your own team that are in different geographic locations. Now, that's been taken away from us with, somewhat understandable concerns of some of the COVID spikes that are happening. I get it. But I think that can have an impact on morale. I made a joke about one of my last memes was that interview with Stetson, right? After the national championship game, tying that to reps who just went on a full bender, went full send at national sales meeting. That's part of the celebration of year to year. You know, the ability, like having that opportunity to go full send with the people that you've been in the trenches with all year. And it sets a certain tone for your year too, when you get to have that in-person celebration with all of those people that help make that quota possible. And I think part of the effects, almost like a secondary impact that those virtual sales meetings have, I think it can be tough on morale. And that's why I think it's more important now than ever, to keep in close contact with your teammates, your manager, as much as you possibly can. I think for other things, depending on what kind of sales specialty you're in, you used to get to travel for cadaver labs, sales trainings, get out of your territory and experience new things. We don't get to do that as much anymore. Our companies are seeing it as a risk with some of the COVID spikes that we've had over the last couple of years. So that ability to learn hands-on and engage with some of the other subject matter experts, whether surgeons or somebody internal to your company, some of that has been diminished. So I think it's more important now than ever to find the best possible way, if virtual events are going to be the norm for the short term, to figure out how to make those engaging as possible. Like Omar, I know you saw my story post that I reshared. I'm trying to remember the account that posted it. Maybe I'll have to go back and look, because I would love to give whoever made that meme a shout out. Where it was like whenever marketing sends out their webinars, and it was like that William Defoe. It's like, wow, there's nobody here. And I feel bad, right? Because there's a lot of effort that goes into setting up these webinars and trying to promote them, just like what we're doing right now. But if nobody's attending them, there's a reason. They don't see the value in it. They don't see the utility in it. So I think that marketing's biggest challenge right now is to figure out, you know, internally for their reps and for their customers, if you're doing customer-facing webinars or seminars, whatever it is that you're doing, product training, to make that a two-way engagement, not this passive, I'm just going to sit here while you talk at me and I'm going to be playing on my phone or like actually doing stuff in my territory to get the participation points to have my name on that list. You know, just like what we're doing now with the chat, trying to get people engaged and not just having me and you talk at them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I do have to make a comment. I'm going to take a hit at a company right now because, you know, it's the end of the day and what the hell. But while I do that, you know, I am watching the LinkedIn Live. The numbers are going up, which is great. But, you know, the chat is on fire. But you know what's not on fire, people? Those emojis. Come on. Help me, you know, help me make this algorithm, you know, let me see, I'm trying not to curse at the end of the day because some people are watching this with their kids. Hit those emojis. I want to see some emojis, people. Those little hearts and celebration. Just hit, please hit those things. Like, we need to own this algorithm on LinkedIn.
And Omar, while you're waiting for that to come in too, that is something I do want to address. It's something you and I had talked about before, right?
Like, what's that, emojis?
No, not emojis. We could address that later, but it is the idea of you know, the non-professional content and language. Right?
Yeah. If you look at my account, let us address that. Yes.
You want to dive into that now?
Yes, I do. But before we do, I'm just going to make a quick comment about marketing teams. So the med device marketing teams, like, in my opinion, they've been lazy for years. Many of them never carried the bag, which is okay. But that, as a result, result of that is that they're not empathetic at all for what it's like to be in sales and what it's like to carry the bag. So they put on these events, they put a lot of effort and money into it. The results are crap, but they don't listen to sales. And on top of it, I don't think they think about the actual process. So, I mean, to your point, like, when you put on these webinars, it's not just going to be like, oh, we're going to throw some slides on the screen and like talk through something. It has to be engaging, has to be entertaining. And more importantly, you got to make it easy for people to find the damn thing. Perfect example. And I'm sorry, it's a big company. I'm going to get heat for this, but I really don't care. Like, I started 2022 with like zero given. So, but HitLab, for God's sakes, you guys had this great event today about JP Morgan, post JP Morgan technology reviews. 800 people accepted this invite on their LinkedIn events page, which means my email's in there. I wake up today at 8, you know, I was already up, but it started at 8 a.m. I'm like, wait, it's not going to be coming up on LinkedIn. Okay, well, there's a link on the event. No, there's no link. There's no nothing. I look at my calendar. There's nothing. And had I not thought about this, right, which I guarantee so many people just were like, whatever, they screwed up. I went in my inbox and searched. And of course, there's one email from them saying, hey, here's the link for the webinar tomorrow. One email gets lost in my inbox. There's not a calendar invite. I go to the event page. There's nothing there. Like, stupid crap like that. And I can't tell you how many webinars have been done where, for example, let's say that's a med device company. I guarantee you med device companies do stupid shit like this. See, there we go. Now I cursed. where they'll put on this webinar. And what does marketing do? And I can talk like this because I was in marketing the last like 7-8 years before that in sales. They go and tell the reps, hey, we need you to invite your customers and email them this and invite them, blah, 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 et cetera. And yet marketing doesn't make it easy for somebody to find these webinars. And then when they don't show up because either the webinar format wasn't good, the email reminders weren't there, like these basic things, guess who gets blamed for that? It's not marketing. Marketing's like, oh, well, sales did a crap job inviting people. I just can't deal with this crap anymore. So anyway, now I got it out of my system. Let's move on to the next topic that you wanted to cover.
Oh, that's fair. I just we'll cap that. I've done my marketing time too. And when I first started, obviously had no sales experience in marketing. And that is a real disconnect. And if you are going to have a career in marketing without sales experience, that's fine. But you've got to spend enough time in the field to build that empathy, or else there's just going to be this separation in ideology and reality. So if we've got marketing folk listening and you don't have sales experience, that's perfectly fine. But get in the field. Make sure you're talking to reps on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
I've seen it too.
I got to pull up this one comment from Amber Gibson. Amber, big fan of Amber, by the way. She says, companies pay for marketing departments, but the effect of marketing comes from the field. This holds true in the digital age. I completely agree with you, Amber. I've always said it. The most valuable and expensive resource that marketing has is the sales team. Chad, would you agree with that?
I would. You've heard the old adage, right? That sales is a revenue generator and everybody else is a cost center.
That's true. I'm trying to change that.
I don't entirely agree with that. But
yeah,
it always made me laugh. It always made me have a chip on my shoulder when I was in marketing.
Yeah, it had a chip on my shoulder so much so that I left devices, went into SaaS to see how they do it, and now I'm back in devices, you know, trying to make
home.
Yeah, it's good to be home, man. I missed everybody. It's only been a year, but it was like my summer away. It was like I went to boarding school, you know.
And I thought about it too, and I do want to make it clear, like, this has been all that I know through my entire career. I have only been in devices through different product categories, different roles, but I've thought about making the jump actually into SaaS. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Now, I guarantee you learn some valuable things to be able to take back. And that's what I do envy of those who have left our industry to come back. But man, I love it, which is also why this account exists.
No, absolutely. And now someone rang my doorbell. Like, I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. Let me go. This is the beauty about working from home. Let me go get that real quick. Could you talk about some of the initiatives that you're looking forward to doing this year? Because I know you have some big initiatives for the page.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the first is just to continue to build our community. You'll notice if you've been following me since, you know, the end of 2019 or even early 2020, I haven't really tried too hard to monetize this account. I have a merch store that was actually by popular demand. So I actually had to figure out how to navigate through Shopify, how to do the print on demand, so I wasn't holding 50 Mad Device mugs in my house. But that's been fun. But the other initiatives are more things that are beneficial to the group. One of the biggest things I'd like to look at is the recruiting side of it, where there are recruiters that hit us up every day. Like, your LinkedIn inbox can be full of them, and oftentimes it's, hey, I've got a clinical specialist role if you're interested. Like, dude, I've been in the industry for 10 years. I'm not looking for a clinical specialist role. I'm looking for something about 5 tiers higher.
Right.
And so I think a lot of that is, I'm not nearly as savvy on LinkedIn as you are, Omar. And I don't know if that's like an in-mail or LinkedIn premium thing where it's just a blast.
You know, no, it's just words. Again, like, recruiters, like, for every one good recruiter, there's like 99 shit ones. You know,
okay. So we're on the same page there.
Yeah. I get those all the time. I was the head of growth for like the last, 5 years now at two different companies. And sometimes I still get a message saying, hey, Omar, and this person knows what they're doing, 'cause it's not an automated message. And they're like, you know, really impressed by your profile. I have this exciting role for a, you know, like a marketing manager role at a Series C company that raised this much money. I'm like, did you like take a second and just read my profile? Like, and I blacklist those people. Like, right. What? Like, I'm not letting that person. This, you know, I tell people, and I think salespeople need to think of it like this, especially salespeople, because I look at salespeople more like athletes than I do marketers. And I say that in a good way.
Sure.
But having a good, like a couple good recruiters in your back pocket, it's like being a star athlete. Like, you need a good agent. Like, no, period.
Absolutely.
You need a good agent to negotiate for you, get the best deals and everything. If you're not dealing with a good agent, they're just going to try and place you just to collect a fee, and they're not going to even try, you know. Like, actually, let me, if, can I share a quick story, Chad? Quick story.
Bro. Send it.
So a couple of years ago, there was a recruiter at a firm, a very reputable one, who reached out to me for this role. at a robotics company. And I think the more I talk about this, people will figure out which company that is. So this company had a really exciting robot that was gonna release. And taking on this role, I would be, I guess it was like a director of marketing role. So it was kind of a sidestep for me. I was already ahead of growth and I was like, okay. And their thing is like, you know, you'd have to move to XYZ Steaks. That's where it's headquartered. You know, but it's a great opportunity. There's these people. Great. So I interview with their chief commercial officer. It goes well. I interview with their VP of Clino. That goes well. And two other people. So it's going great. Recruiter's like, man, you know, they're really impressed with you. They really like you, etc. I'm like, yeah, great. And so then he's like, next step. He's like, last step, the CEO is really excited to talk to you. I'm like, great. I'm excited to talk to them too. And then I get this call out of the blue. He's like, hey, Omar, you know, we want to schedule that interview with the CEO this Thursday. I'm like, great. And he's like, you know, but we have just a little bit of a change. We're going to have a little change with the position. I'm like, what kind of a change? And I'm mentioning this story, Chad, so that people know how to handle recruiters like this and not to put up with bullshit like this. And what this recruiter was like, said, he's like, you know, we're going to change the position from a director of marketing to a marketing manager. I was like, really? I was like, why is that? Cause I was curious. Like I was going to rip him a new one, but I was like, why is that? And he goes, well, you know, you have great experience and everything, but you've only managed up to three or four people in your career. They were really looking for someone who has managed at least six.
Oh God.
Yeah, exactly. And so
hairs much.
Oh my God. So if you deal with a recruiter where you're that far in a process, okay, and they're trying to change, first of all, it's a shit recruiter, because any good recruiter worth their salt sticks up, even though they're hired by the company, they take care of the client, the person they're trying to recruit. That person, the moment they heard this from the company, they go back to the company and they say, I'm not telling this guy that. The moment I tell this guy that, that guy's going to leave. We cannot do that, right? Because you've had like an oral, a contract. I've given time. I've interviewed. We've gotten this far in the process. So if you're in this situation, this is exactly what you do. Because recruiters like that should not get away with things like this. You need to repeat everything that they just told you back to them. And amplify how stupid it is. So I told him, I was like, so you want me to quit my job where I'm a head of growth at a predictive health company? You want me to come and move my family across the state to go to this company who's pre-FDA? And you want me to build out a marketing program from the ground up? And you expect me to do that for a lower title, which means less salary and less equity? And I just silence. And I go, does that make sense to you? And this moron goes, yeah. And this moron goes, but Omar, you know, look, it's, and I was like, listen, with all due respect, this is not for me. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And I hung up the phone. I wasn't rude to the guy, because again, never give anybody the opportunity to talk shit about you behind your back and badmouth you. But by all means, do not let recruiters get away with bad behavior like this. Absolutely. The reason why they get away with it is because nobody sticks up to them. It's like, oh yeah, like I'll continue interviewing for this lower role. No.
No. As soon as that comes up, if they're that quick to cave to the company before they advocate for you, cut the cord and get out. Yeah, that's
absolutely
I want to touch on this real quick. No longer a company I'm part of, not an external recruiter. Internal, not the recruiter, where I interviewed for a certain level of job all the way through until I got my offer letter. And it was a lower tier on the offer letter. Not the verbal offer was at the what I'd interviewed for. The offer letter. And then I asked about it, like, no, that's what it's gonna be. It's like, okay, I'm out. Not gonna happen. Don't let that happen to you. Do not get bait and switched. You are in charge of your own career. Nobody else is. And if it's your own company doing that to you, go find another one, or at least another, if you've got like other divisions or sister companies or whatever. That is unacceptable.
100%. And again, like, and this is why, you know, I really wanted to team up with you to collab on different projects and stuff, again, so that we can provide as much value to the med device community as possible. I'll be honest. So I haven't told you this. I'll tell you this now. I'm very happy that you and your audience appreciate what I do, and they and you see the value in it. Because when I started, one of my concerns was if the Mad Device community and the Red Hat gang don't like what I'm doing, they're just going to destroy me with memes. I wouldn't have cared if I wasn't making like products and services for like sales reps. Like it would have kind of sucked actually. But I'm really happy that like the community embraced me the same way I embraced the community.
Well, here's the difference, Omar, is there's different ways to build your personal brand. And what I see a lot of, let's just go ahead and dive into this for a bit, because I think this is a really important topic. And it ties into what you're doing and why I agree to partner with you and why the synergy works. I almost hate that I use the word synergy because that's such a boardroom buzzword, but I think right now it's important and it works. But when people are building their brands, we see this all over LinkedIn, they make it so much about them and what they're doing, what they're achieving, instead of making it about the audience. Like, who are you really making these posts for? Are you making it for yourself, or are you making it for the people that you're trying to serve? So Omar, if you guys didn't attend his sales discussion last night, that was one of the things that was addressed, was how our customers perceive us posting things like sales awards or our sales numbers. And the bottom line is like, look, awards are cool. Maybe stop there. Because ultimately what we need to be doing with our online footprint and our online presence and building that online brand is making it about the people that we are serving. And you can do that still by promoting yourself. When you talk about your sales awards, who got you there? It wasn't you buying your own product. It was your customer. It was the people that you're talking to every day, the people that you're pushing, the people that you're oftentimes pissing off, like the Judy from purchasing. Who, if you follow me, you know exactly who that is. She might have gotten you home for the year. So don't forget about those people when you're posting pictures of you up on the quota stage, which is cool because you got there through your own hard work. But who got you there? And keep that in mind. And so tying that back to Omar, I started following him probably around the same time that I probably had about 100 followers. And what he was promoting was information that was very relevant to what I was doing at the time. We were talking about this last night, right? Like the book reviews. Those were so interesting because you were going through content in detail that applied directly to my day-to-day. So I just kept following. And then I saw you evolve to make more content that was relevant to our industry. And so it was kind of in the back of my mind, like, hey, Omar and I could collab sometime. And then you started State of MedTech and reached out to me. And I was like, well, I think the stars are aligning because Omar's got things that are relevant to my follower base that add a lot of value that help us understand our industry better. Like whenever you did that breakdown of the NuVasive.
the NuVasive.
NuVasive and.
The merger.
Yeah, the merger. Why am I drawing a blank of who was going to buy, like who was supposed to be buying them? It wasn't.
Globus was trying to buy NuVasive.
Right. Exactly. I was like, wow, that was pretty insightful. And so these just kept coming. And I was like, hey, you know what? Team up. I'll bring the humor and some of the field experience. Omar's got that high level industry knowledge. And, you know, let's collab and make something happen.
No, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, like, I try and do a good job of calling these things kind of like sports. Like one of my taglines I was going to roll with this year was like, make med tech great again. But I feel like it never became as great as it should be. So I'm just like, let's just try and make it as great as it should be. You know, I don't know. But yeah, it's an exciting industry. And again, like, I think we do very rewarding work, especially in terms of like the impact that these technologies can have on patients. And look, all that aside, like, again, marketing is like this, but especially sales, like it is like a sport. It feels good, man. You hit quota Like, you had this hard year, you grind it out, which, by the way, in a moment, I want to screen share and talk through some of your memes, by the way. I have one, one in particular I wanted to ask about. You know, so all that is good. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, look, man, like every now and then, like I'm going to be throwing up some like pseudo humble brags on LinkedIn about something I did, but that's usually buried amongst a lot of other content where I'm shouting out other people. I'm trying to provide information, everything. And there's certain reps, like, again, there's reps and there's, you know, there's like capital salespeople who are like, ah, LinkedIn doesn't work for me to sell to businesses. And I check, I'm like, oh, that's because, moron, you've posted like what, twice in the last year. And in the past year, like those posts, one was like resharing something from the company. The other post was like you winning like President's Club Award or something.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. But, and by the way, I'm seeing more emojis on the LinkedIn. Thank you so much. And drop some chats, everybody, because I will highlight it. I will definitely highlight that. So real quick, want to give some shout outs to some people that have joined. There's a lot of people mentioning where they are, but I'm going to try my best. So Chase Martin out of Birmingham, Alabama. Sorry about the Tide, man. Next year. That I just lost a follow. I lost a bunch of followers for that comment now. Oh well. Brianna Heitzman out of North Carolina. Preston Henrichson out of South Texas. Thank you for joining. Chase Martin, go Dogs. Well, we know why that comment came up. And then Stewart out of Sacramento. Okay, so there's a bunch of other. If I missed you, I'm sorry. But if you have some questions or comments for the Mad Device Rep, please leave it in the chat. So chat, let me ask you this. Do you want to cover another topic real quick, or do you want to go straight to screen share and let's look at some memes? What do you want
to
do?
I think the topic I have in mind will nicely preface what you're about to do and what we were almost about to address earlier, which is this whole idea of cursing on social media when we're trying to build professional brands. And part of the reason, if you follow me, I curse my hashtags. I'll do it on the story. Some of my memes have it in there. And it's not that I'm trying so hard to be edgy. It's just trying to make the content real and raw for how we talk to each other, how we talk to our customers, knowing our audience for the most part, maybe not the CEO of the hospital. But, you know, to me, is that really that unprofessional? I don't think so, because it's real. Now, maybe don't be dropping F-bombs in an interview, but when Omar and I are talking, you know, when we're getting into some, you know, very engaging and emotional content, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It is, right? Like, Med Device Reps have the hardest job in any kind of sales industry. If somebody can think of a sales rep who has a harder job, thinking about, you know, the normal, just the normal private sector or public, feel free to drop that in the comments, because I would love to hear what that is. So I could definitely be wrong. And that's why, you know, again, that's why the account exists. That's why we curse when we talk and make content. And so if I've got like high level executives following this and I ever get doxxed, that's an important disclaimer to have out there, especially as you start sharing my memes.
And people, we'll make sure that you don't get doxxed. And to be fair, like, you know, our customers talk like this. And again, I think, yeah, there's a line where you don't want to cross in terms of what you're saying and everything. But at the same time, man, like, I think using colorful language from time to time, there's a time and a place for it, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, so like if you work for like a large corporate company like Medtronic or J&J or anything, like you do have to be a little bit careful, because like they're never going to change. You work at a Starbucks, a little bit different. I think it's okay to say, did you just crack a beer open?
I did.
God, why did I do this on a Thursday? And I'm going to jujitsu after this. I can't like have a drink and then I'm going to go get my, you know, I'm just going to get beat. So we need to do this again. By the way, I was just
long day. Apparently this mic's a lot better than I thought it was too, if you picked that up. So I was trying to do it off to the side.
Why would you do that off to the side? You should look, you should celebrate that.
No, I just don't want it to be like super loud in the mic, like you're trying to say something, you hear this loud.
No, then people on the podcast who are going to listen to this later are going to feel like they're, you know, hanging out with us in real time.
People know I'm badass and I drink on live streams.
That's exactly right. Which, by the way, I want to hear from the community. Yeah. Should we do a happy hour? And we can do that happy hour, I feel, on maybe we can do it like part Zoom, part IG Live and stuff. But like, I really want to do a happy hour.
I would love to do that.
I'm down. I do want to drink with you. So Casey Green brings up a question. We need some OR stories from the Mad Device rep. Casey Green, why do I have a feeling that you have a very nice Patagonia jacket on?
Yeah, that is that like Brooks Brothers. That's definitely something
famous. That's definitely Brooks Brothers. This is a sharp. Casey Green's a sharp. I saw the name Casey Green. I'm like, this mofo's. This is a sharp dude.
That's like CEO bound right there. Like
that is absolutely right. You have those. That's exactly right. The only way that could have been like a little bit more CEO-ish is if it was like Chris Green or something. Casey, I don't know if you know this. You're gonna be a CEO one day. Smart report. Watch, this guy's gonna be a CEO, next CEO of Medtronic, and he's like, "Yeah, the Mad Device rep called this out like 10 years ago."
So there's
wait. He responds.
I want to hear this before I go into it.
Here's the response. It was Marshall's brand.
I'm good for you.
That's hashtag Red Hat Gang all day,
that's
man.
That's even better.
All right. What I was gonna say. Before we get into the OR, sir, I keep hearing it. Is somebody at the door?
Yeah. I think that's like my sample order that just showed up. Keep ringing the doorbell.
No, but I'm serious. I keep hearing something.
Yeah, let me go grab that real quick.
Okay.
All right. Ah, shit. You set me up for that.
I did.
My wife got it.
I want to hear it in the chat. How many people got so excited thinking they were going to see this guy's face? Do you think we're that amateur here? We knew that something like that was going to happen. I want to see this. Casey Green. I don't deserve to be gassed up like this. Casey Green. I'm loving it. This is going to be a fantastic live stream.
This is what makes it fun.
Yes.
Casey, you're the goat, man.
Yeah. We'll send you swag. Chad, do you want to look at memes? What do you want to do? This is my show, but this is your episode. So you're calling the shots technically.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell one OR story. I guarantee after doing this as long, like there's going to be a lot that are going to come to me later, but there is one that I'll never forget, which is when I was started as an associate, the first case I ever covered was, you know, without getting too much detail to accidentally dox myself, it was complex surgical technology. It was a surgeon who was like high profile, like not at all comfortable with this technology. He had done a hands-on demo with it the day before, was not impressed with, I guess, whatever the rep did. So when I walk into the OR with the rep, and guys, is it okay to drop an F-bomb in the context of a story?
When I release this later, I'm going to have an intro saying, like, there's going to be, like, explicit language in this. So if you're driving with your kids... Don't listen to this episode, at least.
Yeah, just know, like, this was not me, the associate, saying these things in the room. It was the surgeon saying them to me and the rep I was with. But he looks at the rep, and I kid you not, like, you know, you go in when the techs are setting up the case, you're making sure the back table's all cool, they have everything they need. So, like, we're feeling good about it. And the surgeon walks in after they prep the patient, and he just, like, power points at the rep. He goes, you gets to get through his head. He goes, "You don't know what the fuck you're doing." He goes, "That demo you did for me was a fucking joke." And then he looks at me, and I'm like standing there. I've never seen anything like this before, right? Like, I'm so new. And he looks at me and goes, "Who the fuck are you?" The rep introduces me as the marketing director.
That's such a med rep thing. Oh, that's a marketing director.
I'm 22 years old. And he goes, what the fuck does that mean? He goes, do you know what the fuck you're doing? I didn't. And I was like, I go, yes, sir. Hands down the worst case I've ever been part of. Did not go well. Got kicked out of the OR an hour in. And learned my lesson to at least get an appropriate title before you just drag your company's brand in the mud.
Oh, God.
So, I'll never forget that. Also, as a rep, I realize that if you do a hands-on demo with a surgeon, you better be the subject matter expert and make them fully confident in you and your product before they step in the OR. And I got to say, the fact that he even went to do a product demo before trying it in the OR was a step ahead of what a lot of docs will do, you know, using a patient as the guinea pig whenever they're trialing a complex technology. So that's my story. Let's just go ahead to memes. I don't want to think about that anymore. That was traumatizing.
Yeah. So Chad, could you change your avatar?
Can I change my avatar?
Oh yeah. You know how your cause when I pan over your profile photo is going to be skewed. So I have to remove that profile photo. So I was going to say, if you want to,
Oh, you want me to add my avatar?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Give me 1 second.
Oh crap. We didn't do this at the beginning, did we? Oh, well. So while you're doing that real quick, Amy's enjoying this. Amy Guthiel.
Yeah.
She's loving it.
Amy's one of my favorite inbox regulars.
Who, this is from YouTube, Vor on G. I don't know what that is. Let me tell you, look, so while you're changing your
thing. I tried it. It actually doesn't let me like upload anything.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Okay, you just close, you stop.
You want me to shut off my cam?
Yes, you can shut off your cam. That's right. Yeah. Just go ahead and shut off your cam.
I do want to show off these badass Blade sunglasses again.
Oh, you can do that.
It's too risky.
No, it's too risky. I was going to say it's too risky. Oh, no, your thing popped up already, man.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. All good. All right. So,
mask getting really hot too. Like, I want to take all this shit off.
I'm sorry. All right. Let's do some memes, you know? Some good old memes. All right. So, I need to start doing like an around the horn, you know, for MedTech or something. Okay. So, can you see my screen, right?
I can.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and I'm looking. Yeah, so it just zoomed out. I probably gave somebody a seizure. I'm sorry. Let's replay this. This is at the end of the year. I'm gonna turn the sound on. Hopefully, we can. Let me restart that again, and let's zoom in on. This is at the very end of the year. It's a South Park meme for those who are listening.
I just want to clarify, not in 2020, but 1 year. This was literally my story.
Oh, that's okay. So that explains a lot. So let's look at this. And I think a lot of reps can relate to this. Oh,
and a lot of these are like a photo journal, either daily or for some point in my past.
Here we go. Quota tracker 100% on New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Mom, Dad. Zipper wasn't with my parents. Those are the guys.
All right, let's close that one out. So that was you. So that was inspired by you. And I'm.
It is the worst. You think you're going to the New Year's Eve party, you're missing quota, then all of a sudden you're already half cocked, and then a PO comes in, you can barely get it entered, and now you're a quota achiever, and you're just praying the customer service doesn't need a call to clarify anything.
Let me tell you, this is the meme that I first saw that made me say, "Oh my God, I'm following this guy." Which is, for those who are not watching, it's a painting of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, playing basketball and double crossing Satan and breaking Satan's ankles, and Jesus has marketing on him. Regulatory is Satan, obviously, and then the ball is spicy claims. Oh, it still gets me.
That was before I knew who my audience was going to be, since I had kind of a dual background. I had both following me.
It was
That is a daily struggle for marketing, by the
so
way.
here we are. This is the very, you know what? This, you know, we need, this needs to be an NFT, bro. Meme number one, vintage number one, posted 125 weeks. It's aged like a fine wine. And it shows three images. It's got a guy who's loading up a missile and says a new top priority, which is the missile. My boss is the guy who's shooting it, and then he's shooting it at somebody and says my current top opportunity. So is that a shot at like marketing coming out and saying, yeah, that product we said we're releasing ain't gonna come out? What made you think of this?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think that I was thinking back to a boss from my past that would tell me that this is like in my earlier 20s, tell me that like I need to get better at prioritizing, and then there'd be something that was not a priority, and they'd be like, where are we at on this? I'd be like, well, that wasn't the top priority on the list. He'd be like, what do you mean? That's your top priority. So then it now destroys the thing I've been focusing on all week, and now this like bullshit thing at the bottom of the list is now the top priority because it's something they forgot about and got hammered by their management.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there where like a boss thinks that every single task they give you is your top priority. My boss happens to be listening now. This is definitely not a reflection of where we're at.
Oh, so your boss knows who you
My
are.
boss knows who I am, and I think
Wow.
this is a this is kind of a funny story where like when I first started the account, somebody had sent my content to them, and they texted me without any prompting or
Let me
backstory and go, this is you. I know this is you. Got me on
No,
that.
okay, keep going, keep going.
Yeah, well, that was it, and they actually weren't my boss at that time. Just somebody that knew me from past like, past interactions in the career and knew I just had a twisted sense of humor and lighthearted negativity. And so it's actually been a lot of fun. Like, this person is now my boss, and because they're such a great boss, like the content is by no means ever aimed at them. But it's funny because they'll send me my memes and be like, I know exactly which customer is behind this meme. Because you got a good boss, it's somebody you can vent to about
That's true. That's a
all the
good
dumb
boss.
shit you're dealing with every day. And they're
Yeah.
there to support you and help you navigate around it. Obviously, most of us are incredibly self-sufficient, but having that boss is that next level of support is pretty amazing. And so it's a
You're
lot of
absolutely
fun.
right, man. It's got, I gotta tell you, the worst thing, I've had a boss like this where you can't really be honest, or you can't like be real with them, and you'll be doing something and you look at each other where I've been in a situation with a boss many years ago, a long time ago, where I looked at them and we were thinking the same thing, which was, I was like, this is stupid. This is legitimately, this is a stupid thing for us to do. There's a huge waste of time. Why the hell are we doing this? But she had to put on like a good old corporate hat, like, no, this is a great idea. It was CEO. And I'm like, what? Can you just like be real with me? Like, can we just both agree this is a stupid thing we're about to do? But yeah, you're lucky. And Amy, shout out to Amy. Hey, shout, you know, pouring out to a fall, another fallen soldier, just happened to me today. New product pushed again.
I
I'm
feel for you,
sorry,
Andy.
Amy. Oh, I'm
I feel
sorry.
for you. And I just had this conversation, I think today, with somebody in my inbox about marketing timelines. And I think that like, when I think back to my time in marketing, and Omar, you may have had a very similar experience. Like marketing can be optimistically delusional about launch timelines.
Absolutely. Are you shitting me?
And
That's like the understatement of the year.
maybe. can be is the wrong way to put that. Marketing is optimistically delusional about their launch timelines in about 95% of cases.
I'm sorry. You finish your sentence. Someone popped another thing in the chat. I need to put that thing up.
I was going to say, some of it is, how much fun is it to give sales reps bad news for a product?
Look, so I'll be, because I'm on that other side, so I'll be honest with you. I hate it because I carry the bag. And then when I got into marketing, my thing is like, yeah, there's a sales and marketing team. We're really one team. It's TMT, maybe like the money team. So I hated it, but you are correct that there are marketers out there that they take like pleasure in doing that. And usually, again, I'm discriminating a little bit here, but they're usually a little bit like some of the older marketing people who have been doing this since like the 90s, and they just don't give a shit anymore. That's just been in my experience, right? In my limited experience. But that being said, let's move on to this fantastic comment by one of my favorites, Amber. Amber, you're fantastic. Amber said, next week, I'm popping a top every time Omar swears.
I hope you aren't driving anywhere.
Oh, man. We're going to end up having to do this happy hour, man.
Right.
I think it'll only get worse from there. You know what? I have a great idea. I'm already doing this weekly sales call on Wednesday. I'm trying to find the right time. The weekly sales call, maybe it shouldn't be on Wednesday. Maybe what I need to do is make that weekly sales call happen on a Friday where people can tune in and drink. That's what I need to do, I think.
Even a Thursday night. I mean, you don't have to come up going full send, right?
Chad, dude, you're not even thinking about me. I told you, Thursday night's jiu-jitsu night. I can't be getting drunk and going to jiu-jitsu. But then again, like maybe that's, it is just like a bunch of grown men rolling around in pajamas.
That would be an alpha move.
I'm going to get my ass whipped for saying that tonight. It's just like, act of God. What's that?
This would be an alpha move.
That's right. That is, you know what? I did that alpha move one time 2 years ago. I had like half a beer at a happy hour. It was a really bad idea. Because I showed up to work out. I mean, it was jiu-jitsu, but either way, I was like, hungry, and I was like, oh man, it was an IPA.
That's because you only had half of it.
That's exactly right. The chat's doing great. Chat for Chad. Any other questions or comments, please just throw it up in the chat. I want to see it. And that includes you, YouTube and Twitter. I know there's some people watching on YouTube and Twitter. I can see your comments. I can see all of them.
And Omar, while we're waiting, one of the things I do want to go back to is we were talking about exciting initiatives for this year. Something I completely glazed over was a LinkedIn page. I've talked for way too long about how I was going to write blog articles and things like that. And to be honest, it was something that I kind of overcomplicated. So a lot of the things that we talk about through polls, inbox feedback, one of the biggest hot button issues is when we were talking about materials or hospital supply chain being incentivized to buy cheaper products. Those are the things that I will be writing about on the LinkedIn page. I really enjoy writing, and I think that this can be pretty useful, engaging content. And so when I do put this out, whether you agree or disagree with whatever I wrote, I want to see it in the comments section. If you don't like it, light me up. I've got thick skin and I don't get defensive. I want that two-way dialogue. And that's one of the biggest things that I want for this year as I'm creating that content is to keep that two-way dialogue going. I want to hear what you have to say about the ideas I'm putting out that basically come from the feedback I'm collecting from the Red Hat gang.
I love that. I think it's such a great idea. And let me extend another channel to kind of really amplify your articles and content. But when you come out with those, like I would love to guest publish them on the State of MedTech newsletter. So yeah. It's gotten, if you're not subscribed to it already, just look it up, go to my LinkedIn profile, just click any of the articles like the death of medical sales, and you'll see that it was published through the State of MedTech newsletter. It's like 6,000 subscribers now. It's growing. Definitely subscribe to it.
And guys, Omar's a great writer too. And we've talked about doing some collab pieces. So one thing that we can talk about.
Chad, you're so nice.
He paid me $500 to say that. I'm still waiting on that Venmo, Omar. no, I'm just kidding. But talking about like the LinkedIn etiquette of the sales force, we are not the end all authorities on this, but we do try to get a lot of feedback from people all the way across our industry, you know, from the top down. And I think that this subject in particular will help everybody, like everybody with the, you know, quote unquote humble brag, but building your brand, being able to share your accomplishments, but also figuring out how to make it a lot more relatable and digestible to your audience and not just making people cringe. Like one in particular that I'm not going to go into because I think there were good intentions, but it ended up in my inbox, I want to say at least 30 times.
So was it a post this week, right?
It wasn't this week. It was, this was probably November or December. And the only thing I will say is there was a write-up in the post.
You need to describe. No, come on. You can't leave it.
All right, shit, man. All right. You'll know this as the chapel post. You know what I'm talking about, Omar?
The chapel post?
The rep who made the post about like, kneeling and praying in every single chapel and every single hospital.
No, I did not see that post.
Okay, I'll send it to you. That was the post that ended up in my inbox more than anything that's ever been posted, maybe minus whenever the Zimmer CEO's wife posted nude on a bed covered in cash on the same day that they scrubbed like thousands.
I heard about that. They scrubbed the living hell out of the internet.
Well, I got screenshots, so if anybody's interested, it was the most tone deaf. The message was supposed to be about women's empowerment, which we fully support, but at the timing of it was just awful because it was a person covered in money on the same day that thousands of employees, I want to say like at least 5,000 to 10,000 employees were laid off.
Yeah.
So that between that and the chapel post, if something's cringe in our industry, it usually makes it into my inbox. And so that's why I was laughing at your post. I think it was today, Omar, where it was like this heuristic. If I do X, will it end up in the Mad Device rep's inbox?
Yeah, man.
Now, pretty fair, man. Like I'm not out to like roast people to, you know, publicly shame people.
But if it's stupid enough, it will. And look, I think that's a great heuristic to be known by. I mean, look, I have the fortune to know, to personally know Scott Adams, who's the world famous cartoonist who created Dilbert. And so like the Dilbert principle exists. Like Elon Musk says, like one of the things that he actually runs his companies by is like, if what we're about to do could potentially end up as a Dilbert comic strip. And for those who are not familiar with Dilbert, it's about like how stupid corporate America is and like how nonsensical it is. He's like, if it could become a Dilbert comic, we should just not do it. And I,
timeless.
I think a good heuristic is like, okay, I'm going to make this post. Can this end up in the Mad Device rep's Instagram inbox? I think it's fair, man. I think it's fair. And honestly, like, look, this is part of the reason why I went off on my own this year and started this, you know, aside from my mission about, you know, I really want to change how med device sales and marketing is done and more importantly, empower reps because these damn companies aren't doing it. But the other reason is that I can now, nobody's holding me back from calling BS on these things, exactly. You know? Like again, like here. So let me tell you, and I don't want to get off too off topic here, but this just
that was fine.
Piss. What's that?
That's it. No, it's fine.
Okay, I'll just light it up. Look, and people who've been on this have heard me talk like this, but I cannot handle how absolutely stupid it is. Look, I did a so Amber's on here. A few other people who were in my webinar last week. Every webinar I do a poll. First, like how many people hit quota last year? Like how many quarters? And usually anywhere from 25 to 40% hit zero quarters of quota last year. Then I ask like, are you getting limited access to your hospital? The answer is yes. Have you seen med tech companies say, hey, reps, we're going to invest in, let's say, better training for you so you know how to sell through social? Forget about that. Hey, we invested in marketing we brought in XYZ person from this industry to come and we're going to do marketing in a much more effective way. No. There's one company who did do this, by the way, SI Bone. So shout out to SI Bone and Tony Cupero, who's the president, because they hired a VP out of Kellogg to come in and do digital to help their sales force a year ago. So shout out to them. They're not doing this. They're not providing any support to salespeople. Yet all these motherfuckers increase their quotas by like 15, 17, 20% this year. I heard of a distributor I was talking to, I kid you not, last week, he said his quota for this year with this orthopedic company is 45% up from last year. And Hospitals Limited in Axis, they're shutting things down because they went a whole year with no reps. They're like, why are we going to let them back in? So how do you expect these people to like hit their quota, feel good about themselves, you know, accomplish, you know, what you want to accomplish?
Support their families.
Yeah, support their families. And look, like, I get so much bullshit messages in my inbox, man, about this. Like, it, the writing's all on the wall. Look, I spoke to somebody yesterday who's over at J&J, and we agreed, like, the writing's on the wall that these things are happening in the industry where, you know, reps are getting downsized, etc. Meanwhile, there are other people who are trying to argue with me, like, oh no, this can never happen. Pfizer, of all companies, did $80 billion in revenue in 2021. $80 billion. To let you know how big of a difference that was, 2020, they did like, I think 30 or 35. They just announced that they're laying off a bunch of their salespeople because they said, oh, doctors prefer digital versus in-person meetings, so we're just going to get rid of people. Meanwhile, our industry is just like lackadaisical, and these sales directors and salespeople who, you know, who just don't want to admit it, they're like, this is not going to happen to us. I'm like, yeah, it is.
I do want to point something out on that. So I reshared your post about the Pfizer layoffs and the reason.
Oh, you did?
I did. And thank so I got
on IG. On IG, yep, you did.
On Instagram, exactly. So I got a lot of feedback on that. You know, some was agreeing with like, hey, we've got to be looking, we got to be forward facing in how we're building our selling process. And then some people are like, this is pharma. This isn't med device. This
one, right. It's pharma. Like, dude. Pharma.
So I think, you know, if you're an implant rep and you're super tight with a couple doctors, I think it's kind of hard to see how that might change, right? That surgeon looks at you to be an extension of his team every single day, every single case.
Oh, I agree with that.
But here's the thing to think about is how much control does that surgeon still have over his product decision-making?
Yeah.
And how is that changing? Because when healthcare systems start going sole source and start prying the product decision-making out of the surgeon's hands, where are you now? And yeah. what value are we able to offer? And that's not specific just to the implant side. That's all of us. And that affects our access. It affects our access, our pricing, basically the entire operating picture of our livelihood. And that's where there's multiple elements to think about here, which is why I love the way you're approaching the training is starting with how we're approaching the surgeons in the first place.
Absolutely.
Where we're approaching them. Like, are we, like, how are we even influencing them? You know, it's not the same. Like, it used to be, you can catch them at the scrub sink, start pushing a product, get it into their hands. But one thing I really liked that you said last night was you can't fit this entire sales process into a single interaction.
Yep.
And now that's not just beginning in person, that's beginning digitally.
Yeah, I completely agree. And look, you know, to your point, Chad, you bring up a good point. Like the clinical sales reps who are like in the cases and everything, like maybe they're, you know, they're a little protected depending on their situation. But I'll give you a great example, because the world that I come from is capital. If you're a capital sales manager, right, which means you're not covering cases, you're not doing any of that. Literally, you're just selling capital. Why would you, if I was a company, I don't need to have five states and a capital person in each state. Why don't I just have one capital person for the whole region sell and do things digitally, they have like maybe a few SDR sales development reps under them. The same thing gets happened because you're not going and having like capital sales meeting every single week these days. So I think there's all these risks. And man, I got to tell you, big shout out to Amber. See, like people, if people are active in the comments, I like to shout them out. So this is what Amber says. Amber says, not only do they not teach new and improved marketing skills to reps, but companies limit what marketing content can be shared on social media. How many times do we see the same staged photo of a product in ORs around the country? Yes. Yes. Amber, if I could hit emojis right now, I would have broken my keyboard.
No, it's very true. And so I want to comment on that just because throughout the course of my career, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing, we have to change the mindset of regulatory's purpose. What I mean is the individuals themselves, not the function of the role. I've been in a company where my regulatory counterpart when I was in marketing totally understood the mission. Like, your job is not to keep product from getting out the door. Like, your job is not to hit your performance metrics by saying no. Your job is to help us grow revenue, but also protect us. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, across different roles and working as a sales rep with marketing to help develop some of this messaging, we run into these regulatory obstacles because they are so incredibly conservative and they see their job as basically like saying no is the norm. It's not, hey, how do we work with sales and marketing to grow our product base and grow our revenue? It's like, how many things can I shoot down in a single proposal? And regulatory leadership needs to understand that that is not your job. Like, your job is to protect the company. Your job is to keep us compliant with the FDA. But your job is not to keep product coming out the door. Your job is to keep us growing in a very safe manner. So I think that to the point that was just brought up, that's one of the problems is, yeah, from a social media standpoint, we should be able to share like very reasonable content to keep promoting and branding and growing the brand of these products. But oftentimes it's the regulatory departments that are the ones behind this like very restrictive social media policy.
Yeah. And I'll comment on this, you know, and we've had a hell of a stream tonight. I want to keep going, but we had a call at some point.
Let's do more.
we'll do more of these.
I just looked at the clock.
Yeah. But one thing I'll comment is like on the regulatory side. So on one side, so really large corporations, Medtronic, J&J, Stryker, you know, when I say large, like more than 500 people, it's not a secret that, that I have this upcoming like sales course. Outside of that, the free stuff, which is the webinars that I do, I'm doing another one tomorrow, which is how to sell to surgeons and 10x your pipeline, the weekly sales call. I'm trying to give as many free tactics away of how you as a salesperson can sell to physicians and do it without having to deal with marketing or regulatory or anything. Because there are ways, because I've, believe it or not, I've read many times the FDA's guidance on social media, which is really confusing. And so there's ways to get around that. There's ways to get around Sunshine Act and StarClock and to get around completely like your marketing and regulatory department and still be really effective. And so that's what I'm trying my best to do, which is at the very least, people learn these on their own and then they can implement it to be more effective. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll just say this, and a lot of my marketing peers who are listening to this are going to get pissed because their thing is like, oh, we don't want to like unleash the sales team, etc. If you're at a company where the marketing department is literally just like on your ass about what you're posting, and it's even things that are not related to the company or product, like you're literally just, I don't know, you're posting a self-development post or something, you need to leave that company, just straight up. Well, that being said, we're way past the hour, so I got to get going. Chad's got to get going. And this broadcast will be up on YouTube and other places. So we will we'll broadcast it there, and then the podcast will definitely be up in podcast. So for everybody who's watching, thank you so much for joining. We will we'll do this again. We'll do a happy hour. Chad, any last words?
I really appreciate everybody who joined us tonight. This was a lot of fun. Love this community and love what we're going to do in 2022.
Absolutely. It's going to be awesome. All right, guys. Take care. Have a great evening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The State of MedTech. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib. Do us a favor. If you like this episode, share with somebody, and go ahead on Apple and Spotify, wherever you are, leave a 5-star review. Type a few nice notes about us. This is how we get other people to find the show. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.